In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
One of the major themes that Zephaniah the prophet developed and emphasized was the theme of the day of the Lord. The concept of the day of the Lord, like many of the terms in Holy Scriptures, has various levels of meaning which are determined by the setting in the text. The term day of the Lord can refer to a day of defeat and destruction. Zephaniah used the term to prophesy the defeat and devastation of the city of Jerusalem. Also, the terms the day of the Lord and that day pointed to a time of judgment and of reckoning. They pointed to a day on which Yahweh would pour out his anger because of man's sinfulness and rebellion. Such a day would be for the unbeliever a day of pain, of panic, and punishment. But for the Old Testament child of God, the day of the Lord pointed to deliverance, which the Lord would provide. It was a day of victory, a day and time for rejoicing. The Old Testament faithful look forward to the ushering of what has been called the Messianic Age. The Messianic Age on earth would reach its climax in the final day of the Lord, in the final day of judgment. That day would be marked by the end of all things, by the end of the world as we know it. All people who lived on earth would be summoned before the Lord. Those who lived as they pleased in a life of rebellion against God would be judged justly according to the law. And those who lived in faith in God's promises, would also be judged justly, but on the basis of God's promises, on the basis of his mercy and forgiveness, as he pointed to the coming of the Messiah, whom we know as Jesus Christ. The faithful look forward to being treated by God in his mercy, in his forgiveness, according to his promises. We who count ourselves as New Testament believers understand that the Messianic Age has already begun, that it began in the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yet we too have to face a day of the Lord, whether it be in the form of the day of our death or in the day of the second coming of the Lord to judge the living and the dead. Just as Zephaniah implored, encouraged, and instructed the people of God of his day to live their lives in the light of the hunger in our day for something solid and eternal. One of the founding fathers of that strange thing called the death of God theology complained recently that his present crop of students are the most appallingly religious generation that I've ever run into. Well, you see, on the assumption that the finite is all that there is, that this world, enriched by philosophy and art and music, and stabilized in social justice and social progress, he has sketched out a secular religion which tried to domesticate human beings within time and space and culture, and you can't do it. And a new generation just wouldn't buy that. Human eyes were made to look farther. There's an empty space in the heart until it has a grasp on the infinite and the eternal. And we, as ambassadors of Christ, ought to have nothing to offer to fill that space and that vacuum except Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for us. If it is true in the discipline of physics that nature abhors a vacuum, it is also true in spiritual discipline that the spiritual nature abhors a spiritual vacuum. Where that great emptiness exists, something is going to fill it. The vacuum may be filled finally with despair,
It may be taken up by a fascination with the occult, which has been growing by leaps and bounds in our day. It may be something else. But we shall have a lot to answer for if we have not proclaimed to fill that vacuum the Lord Jesus Christ, crucified and risen again to fill the vacuum, to give people a solid hold on the eternal and an unfailing grasp on immortality. Approaches, methods, yes, Paul used a lot of them. But you notice how he never allowed a method to obscure the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may not have the same failings as I, but I need to remind myself sometimes and consider that I'm going about the thing backwards when I find a very clever theme, a piece of impeccable logic, or a fine story, and then go to find something to fit the story or the logic or the theme. Am I the only one that wonders sometimes whether people just remember the clever story or the theme or the way of putting things rather than Christ crucified and risen for them? Well, if I'm not the only one, we need to come back again and again to play this one string on the harp, remembering what and above all whom we are proclaiming. We're not called to be experts in transactional analysis or transcendental meditation or amateur psychiatry or, heaven help us, assertiveness training. But we're called to proclaim Christ crucified and risen for all mankind. And it is not without some trembling that I remind you that this word is also for you, not just for preaching to others. You know that Satan is so brazen that he doesn't hesitate to enter the sanctuary itself. He did it at Shiloh long ago when he made the sons of Eli into sons of Belial, so that their epitaph in 1 Samuel reads, "They knew not the Lord." How would you like to have that on your headstone after half a century of preaching? "He knew not the Lord." Surely we need to preach the gospel to ourselves, lest having preached to others, we ourselves become castaways. We need to make the objective truth of God in Christ also a subjective thing for us, penetrating and saturating our own hearts and minds, so that we grasp these same things that we proclaim for others. It might be well for all of us, when we have a place to preach from, to put somewhere close by a plaque in bold letters, and on it the words of the ancient church father Chrysostom, "It is a miracle that a pastor can be saved." But the miracle has happened. Even a pastor can be saved, for Christ is crucified and risen for us. And with that as a base to operate from, we can play this one-stringed harp with joy and with confidence and hopefully also with some skill. And from that simple instrument will come a magnificent melody which finally blends and harmonizes with the music of heaven itself. And now, having heard the word of God, let us make confession of our sins in the words of the general confession.